Passion, freedom, knowledge. The Abstract Japan Podcast at abstractjapan.com.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and On the Street Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Race, The World's J-Pop and Alternative Art Spot.
Bastards and wenches, welcome to episode 253 of No Borders, No Race, your J-Pop and Alternative Hotspot. I am your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. And as you may know, Wicked Anime has gone on hiatus again. With some of us going back to their full-time jobs, it'll be hard for us to meet up regularly like we were able to early in the COVID outbreak. But as you may recall from the episode, there's always a chance that we'll be returning out of the blue. There's always the wikis at the end of the year, but one is best to keep their eyes peeled both on the Wicked Anime Facebook and Discord, because we can drop an announcement at any time, and we may be doing more online streams in the future through Discord as well, so stay tuned for when Wicked Anime drops something. On today's episode, we hop on board a very supernatural railway, and a Japanese drama showcases the raw and insane backstory behind the adult entertainment industry in the 80s. Plus, on this week's A Bastard Soapbox, why it hurts when good and talented writers do dumb and horrible things. But first, as always, Nihongo minasan, mo ichido Nihongo yoyaku no mo hitotsu no edition ga yette kimashita. Regulation no creator J.G. Quintel ga close enough to yobareru atarashi series de modotte kimasu. 前の章のように、それはその肉体的で感情的なユーモアで脱線します。また、親のように振る舞う必要がある場合でも、かっこよくしようとする試みをしています。Second season がトライするので、Close Enough がクインテルさんの最後の作品と同じくらいの持続力を持っていることを期待しています。奥の専門家は子供たちのことを考えるというフレーズを使用して嫌いなものを禁止または検閲しています。しかし、子供の生活に対する実際の脅威が現れた時、それらの同じ専門家は気にしていないようです。代わりに彼らは困っている人よりも金儲けについて考えます。それは確かにお希望の健康災害につながっていきます。俳優セット・ローゲンは彼の新しい映画アナメリカン・ピクルで20義務を負っています。この映画は一世紀の間に社会がどのように変化したかをユーモラスに見たものです。また、虚勢よりも本物に近い方法で自分の信仰を再発見するというテーマで良い仕事をします。パイナップルエクスプレッサーではありませんが、アナメリカン・ピクルはセット・ローゲンの最高の映画の一つです。My thanks again to my teacher, Mikio Hattori-sensei. Remember, if you'd like to know more information on her cultural exchange initiative, please be sure to visit their website at ceinitiative.org. And for those interested in learning Japanese this fall, please be sure to check out showaboston.org and sign up for their 12-week online courses. This is the final week to sign up, so if you haven't decided yet and really want to, now is the best time. With that out of the way, let's start today's playlist. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and would like to support these artists, you can find all of their music on CD Japan, Yes Asia, Amazon, Apple Music, Spotify, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record stores. We're starting things off with a new track from Kelmico, who just released a brilliant new album called Maze, like a great mixture of Sibumato and Beck, so please, please, please give this album a listen. This new ditty of theirs is called Iruyo.
Yada, 上に下に左に右に中に隠れるとかそんなんじゃなくてチューニングがあったとき今これこの手では捉えられん
来るてかいるいるよ
マジだってこの目で確実にマジだってこの耳で確実に私は正常です怖いんです変なことを言ってくるんですねえ助けてお願いどうしたらいい考えてみてよ自分のことのように一言じゃないからほら今度は君の後ろにいるよ
なんだ来るてかいるやだ
ここはトンネル光が飛んでる牛密度嫌な予感アクセル踏み込み最寄りのコンビニ見つけますわこれが最近の流行り現代的よくある下りまさかこの身に起きるとは冷やかしにはご用心カナビオスが変にどこに連れて行くつもりありえない次回そこにいるのかい私を待ってるのかいこの世にこの世に心び
clickbait, paywalls, or shilling around. At Scarlet Rhapsody, we are an independent web zone covering conventions across the country. Scarlet Rhapsody breaks it down for you. The guests, the dealers, the culture, the cosplay, the trending fandoms, and what makes a convention worth the price of admission. Are you convention cultured? You will be. Visit us on the web at scarlet-rhapsody.com, Facebook at Scarlet Rhapsody Media, Twitter at Cons and Churros, YouTube at Scarlet Rhapsody Convention Cultured, and remember, the con is what you make of it, so make it a good one. See you at the con.
Yeah.
Girlfriend with High on High off of this year's House. Girlfriend was supposed to play Anime Boston this year before its cancellation, but hopefully they'll return for next year's event. You know, if there is one. I'm always impressed when kids' shows attempt to pivot towards certain themes and concepts that showcase a sense of maturity. Cartoon Network has demonstrated this well with shows like Adventure Time, Regular Show, and, of course, Steven Universe. Continuing on with that trend is a show whose pilot grabbed my attention a couple of years ago called Infinity Train. And despite some of its whimsy, it showcases a lot of concepts that dive deep into the state of modern humanity. So Infinity Train originally started off as a one-off miniseries, only to evolve into an anthology program of sorts. Each season follows a different protagonist as they go through a mystical train. This form of transportation goes on quite literally forever, with new train carts added with new worlds kept within. And the only way anyone can get off is to get their number down to zero via completing tasks and performing good deeds. The passengers on Infinity Train jump on board because they are dealing with their own personal problems. In season 1, Tulip is having trouble dealing with her parents' divorce, with them unable to bring her to game development camp being the straw that broke the camel's back. Season 2 has Jesse coming to terms with his bullying tactics, which come to a head when his little brother gets hurt. Now, in its current season, which hasn't really gotten too deep onto this character, the focus is placed on a young girl named Hazel and a gorilla she's traveling with. Every season has something linked to the previous one. Season 2 has the mirror tulip from season 1 aiding Jesse on his journey, while at the same time finding her way off of the train. In season 3, two people from a rogue gang in season 2 offer a level of assistance to Hazel. But everyone has their own internal problems that they're dealing with as they fight to get their numbers down and get off the eternal locomotion. There's a great mixture of comedy and drama that's presented in Infinity Train, but the thing that makes this show wonderful is how the comedy elevates the more dramatic elements. The way Tulip deals with her parents' divorce is showcased at first with a twist of comedy, only to push the more darker things that happened with her mother and father because of it. Mirror Tulip's fight to get off the train is a lesson on finding one's reason to exist in a world that says that they don't belong. And it's all done in a way that's both relatable and truly down to earth. I'm not going to say that Infinity Train's the best new show to come onto Cartoon Network, but it does give me hope for what the next decade of American family animation can deliver. All of the first two seasons and the current third one can be streamed now on HBO Max, and I highly urge you to watch it. And the reason to watch is because the series may actually be in trouble of being canceled. Creator Owen Dennis has said in an interview that the continued success of Infinity Train rests on HBO Max's streams. He wants to do 8 seasons since 8 looks like an infinity symbol. So please, if you want more great cartoons for everyone to enjoy, I urge you, watch Infinity Train. It is such a cool series. Highly recommend it. Now, back to more music. And when I think of workhorses in the music realm, I think one of the top tier guys is Mark Lanegan. On top of releasing 2 albums last year, he's also penned an excellent memoir entitled Sing Backwards and Weep. And inspired by his reflection while writing the book, another album was unleashed called Straight Songs of Sorrow. From that album, here is Mark Lanegan with Stockholm City Blues.
Staring out the window of this hotel room, the waxing and waning giant nor the moon. Brother Aldo, are you good for a few more bucks? I promise someday soon I'm gonna change my luck. The rain is making rivers of the Stockholm streets, soaking through my coat, through my boots, to my feet. No one can ever tell me when enough's enough. Descending every ladder to the final rung. close enough to trade a few more nickels for another nail. Don't let my will give out before my body fails. Taxi to the corner, it's another mile. Be another corner somewhere else tomorrow. No one can tell me that enough's enough. I pay for this pain I put into my blood. The chopping and churning of the northern tides. Rip out a wound as deep as the ocean is wide. Now thank my God because I prayed for it. I went to my knees when the medicine hit. Felt the slightest sting as though an insect bit. No one could ever tell me that it's time to quit. The faint flickering lights my candle barely lit. Brother outlaw, are you good for a few more bucks? No one could ever tell me that enough's enough. I pay for this pain I put into my blood. I pay for this pain I put into my blood.
The Mike Rogers Show, coming to you live from Tokyo, Japan, a year-end special, and I'll be with my good friend, Evan Borgald, and you can tune into the Mike Rogers Show. We play Japanese music, Japanese pop, Japanese, and you can win a bazillion dollars on this show. I don't know how you can, but maybe, you know, if you listen to the show, maybe you can somehow, maybe buy a raffle ticket or something. The Mike Rogers Show, yes, tune in. We're going to have our year-end top five countdown. It's going to be way cool, and you can hear more good songs just like this.
Escape. Moonlight escape. Mantle gilgaeshi. Goodbye. Tak.
from Bucktick, that was Moonlight Escape. This serves as a hint of what's to come from their upcoming album, Abracadabra, which hits stores on September 21st. The Peggies are back with a new song that currently serves as the opening theme to the hit show Rent-A-Girlfriend. I love this song, but I don't think I'm really on board with this anime. You'll read my thoughts about it within the next couple of weeks. Anywho, this is the Peggies with Centimeter.
Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube, Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, You follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing. You can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
Known as Melbourne, Australia, that was Subcult with their debut track, Suffocating, a very fantastic debut of a track that's about the lead singer's unrequited love of sorts. Hoping to hear more from these guys in the near future. I think they've got something really good cooking up. And now, folks, it's time for me to inject some common sense into your frontal lobes. It's another edition of A Bastard Soapbox. There is nothing more sucky when things you like are ruined when their creators start doing dumb shit. Not a week goes by when I'm reminded of why I walked away from the Harry Potter fandom, thanks in part to J.K. Rowling's transphobia. It hurts to look at two of my favorite sitcoms, Father Ted and the IT Crowd, and know that its creator, Graham Lanham, has also said and done some shitty things about transgendered people. My childhood was built on my love for Earthworm Jim, which I now look with a careful cringe after all of the hateful things creator Doug Tenapel has said about LGBT people and women's reproductive rights. This now leads me to my now current gripe, the manga Actage. Now, I read the first volume of Actage, and I was blown away by the characters, the pacing, and the storytelling. The art style at first was questionable, but it got a lot better as the chapters progressed. And I had my article and review all written up and ready to go, which praised the writer and gave me hope that this could be the next big series. 3 days before my review was scheduled to go up on the Boston Bass Brigade site, the writer of Actage gets arrested for assaulting a middle schooler, which he admitted to doing. And without hesitation whatsoever, Weekly Shonen Jump canceled the series, pulled past volumes off of store shelves, and I believe Viz Media here in America won't be publishing the manga anymore in the West, at least in physical form. All good decisions, because what the writer of Actage did, whom I'm purposely not calling by name, is fucking unforgivable. If you're right in the head, you should hope that he never has a career again. The artist, by the way, Shiro Usazaki, I certainly hope she lands on her feet and is given a chance to shine once more. But for the writer to do this, it not only destroys his career, which, yes, should be destroyed, but it also affects, as I mentioned, the artist, but also the assistants, the editors, and the managers who helped bring Actage to the pages of Weekly Shonen Jump. All of these people are now out of a job because this asshole did a total shitbag thing. So many lives have been put in hiatus because the writer wound up being a sicko. And it pisses me off when talented people who create great things throw away all of their reputation down the shitter because of their warped mindsets. And again, I'm glad that Weekly Shonen Jump acted this way when all of this came out. Now, with all of that being said, Rurouni Kenshin creator Nobuhiro Watsuki should also not have a career for the thing that he was arrested for. It's awful when there's this sort of double standard sort of thing occurring, when two writers that have done similar terrible things, and one of them, of course, gets rightfully punished, but then the other gets a mere slap on the wrist. I don't care how beloved Rurouni Kenshin is in the anime fandom. Like, how I'm treating J.K. Rowling? Watsuki's ass should have been straight up canceled when he was found with that illegal and disgusting collection he owned. Basically, if you're a successful person, it doesn't give you the right to pull or say dumb shit. There is no such thing as a freedom from consequence. There needs to be harder punishments for people who did horrible things and practically got away from them. I'm not 100% for cancel culture, as you might recall from an episode a while back. But there are some people who deserve to have everything taken away from them. The author of Actage is one of them. The creator of Rurouni Kenshin is another. Rowling's a third, and I'm pretty certain there are others who should have their successes, I don't know, repossessed. Maybe that's the best way to say it, repossessed. To those who were harmed by the author of Actage's actions, I really hope they do pick themselves back up very soon. I sincerely hope that Weekly Shonen Jump has given them all new jobs, or are at the very least prepping for new careers. They did nothing wrong, and they don't deserve to be dragged in the mud with the author. Rather, I hope you're using his unconscious body to avoid stepping in any mud whatsoever. I honestly don't know what my moral or takeaway is from all of this. Maybe, don't be stupid. Don't hurt kids. Don't be a goddamn creep. It's hard for people to tell what a person truly is outside of work, so it's not like one can predict if they're going to be a scumbag. Lord knows I've had to deal with that personally with certain people that used to guest on here regularly, but don't anymore. Basically, fucked up people should just fuck off. That should be on the t-shirt. Fucked up people should fuck off. Unless you're in the band Fucked Up, who are all awesome people. Anyways, that's it for this week's A Bastard's Soapbox. All opinions are solely mine. If you have an idea for a future Bastard Soapbox segment, contact us on our social media or write to us via email at thebastards@bostonbassbrigade.com. I know this segment wasn't as straight and narrow as the previous ones, but I just needed to get that situation off of my chest. Jesus fucking Christ. Such a great manga being ruined by a shitbag pedophilic writer. God. Okay. This is where I calm down. We go back to some music. And as usual, the next song I'm going to play is Wild as Hell. This is a band called the Doovy Dovers. And this song is the title track to their 2019 album. And it's simply called... Gone!
Inferno, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great. I Think This Is Great! Exclamation point with Clay Inferno is the full name of the show. And it's an interview podcast about people doing and being their best. We talk about doing compassionate work, making books, working on teams, getting over hurdles, doing great things, even when the chips are down and you just, frankly, don't want to do anything. It's a little bit of a tech podcast, but mostly this is a interview show where I talk to some of the most fascinating people that have come into my life, and hopefully I get to meet some new friends along the way. So welcome, and please let me know what you think of I Think This Is Great with Clay Inferno by joining the conversation on social media with the hashtag ITTIGpod, or you can reach out to me directly at CLAYNFERNO, Clay Inferno. There is no I in that Inferno, at Clay Inferno, clayinferno.com. But you are here at ithinkthisisgreat.com. So do me a favor, once the show launches, please go on to iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts and leave me a rating, and please spread the word. I want people to know about the show and the amazing people that I have on it. So we will see you on the internet.
This is LJ, and I Think This Is Great.
Hey, this is Luke O'Neill, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great.
I think Jared Business is great, and I think you're listening to Clay Fernal. Wait, that was backwards.
I'm going to use that one.
On the moon, fly at the world, the wind blew. 手のひらに溢れてく情熱が目を覚ます。さまよってるだけの This World 一つだけ光る君のビューは錆びたナイフなんかじゃさせない。 I am burning like a fire going 心に矢を放たれた瞬間まとわりつく雑音が弾けた。 Everything was different for that moment no If I don't try I'll never know。 なぜ花は咲くのだ。Shout it to the sky, but you are no, no longer you, that's right. あの日僕ら確かめてた Life 儚い夢と言われたっていいから、傷だらけの今日から救い出すよ。モノクロンスカイや君が流した涙を今も手探りで探してる。明日に向かうためにあと何を失えば光は見えるかな。I look back to the moon and the stars、 その横顔を思い浮かべた。孤独の中に昇る朝日、胸のことはまだ消さないように。なぜ夜は来るのだ。But you are no, no longer you, that's right。 あの日僕ら抱きしめてた Life。 君の声が確かに聞こえるから、傷だらけになっても救い出すよ。I'm gonna find you Doing myself funny I'll do what I do きっと見つけ出すよ。 Tell me why I just shouted to the sky But you are no, no longer you That's why あの日僕ら確かめてた Life 儚い夢と言われたっていいから、傷だらけの
Rude Alpha with Life off of this year's record 23. The song also served as the first ending theme to the hit anime series Dr. Stone, which returns for another season this winter. You can also check out the latest single from Rude Alpha entitled Manatsu no Megami, which just dropped a couple of weeks back. Although they've retired from the tour life, the Persian Leaps are still bringing something new to the music realm every chance they get. A new EP from them called Smiling Lessons will be released on the 18th, and from that record is the song Lost Cause.
Kathy, I'm a lost cause. Been talking in my sleep, stuck, don't wanna wake. Clutching for these final straws to show you how I feel. Proving not a fake, but if you put your faith in me, I'll only let it up and see. I'll only disappoint you 'cause I'm lost. Kathy, I'm a lost.
Remember the old school video games you grew up with? Curious about gaming history that's all but forgotten? Do you just like the sound of my voice? Hey, David here, and I host and produce the show ArtCast, which is short for Another Retro Gaming Podcast. Come join me every week for fun discussions with a variety of guests and friends within the gaming industry discussing the retro titles we all love. We also tackle retro gaming-related news, play the game show Random Select, and do game giveaways. So give us a listen at retrozap.com/ArtCast or on any major podcast platform like iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play Music, and more. Thanks for listening, and keep it retro.
With Tsukio no Yume off of her new album Jomeno. On top of the new album, you can also hear Suzuki as the voice of Uiui in the most recent season of Show by Rock. One of my all-time favorite films is Jason Reitman's directorial debut, Thank You for Smoking. The movie demonstrates the sleazeball levels that both tobacco lobbyists and anti-smoking committees go to push their agenda. In the long run, while there are some good people that work within these areas, it demonstrates that the majority of those who try to push an agenda are shitbags. It's a fantastic film that I highly recommend everyone to watch. Although I just realized I said that there are good people on both sides, even though there really aren't any really good people in tobacco lobbyist areas. Anyways, I bring up Thank You for Smoking because the film came to mind when I was watching the Netflix series
The Naked Director. Taking place in 1980s Japan, the show is about the evolution of the Japanese adult entertainment business, and it focuses on real-life director Toro Muranishi, a former English encyclopedia salesman that enters the world of Japanese porn first via the magazine market before going into the film business. But as Muranishi attempts to change the adult entertainment world, the ones who are in charge of the industry try to push him down. The Naked Director places a big focus on Muranishi trying to bring something new and unique to the Japanese porn realm, while at the same time dealing with Japan's incredibly awful and notorious censorship laws. Until Muranishi actually came around, all sex shown in adult films in Japan wasn't even real, with people wearing the same bandages that mainstream films do when they do simulated sex scenes. So when Muranishi made the first real sex scene porn, it not just shook the industry, but also gained the unfortunate attention of the Japanese law force. There's a line that sticks out greatly in The Naked Director. It's not obscene because it's pornographic. It's obscene because the government says it is. That is a line that is going to stick with me for a very long time, and it certainly links up with what I was talking about in a Bastard Soapbox segment a couple of weeks back. There are all these horrible things going on, like drug abuse, weapon smuggling, kidnapping, and the cops seem more interested in cracking down porn over the shit that actually causes harm to people. It's why I look at the character of Takei, the police officer, and see him as being a bigger villain than anyone else on the show. And it makes it worse because he's also aiding the porn companies with a hand in the Yakuza. He's a character you hate because he's tearing down an industry that causes barely any damage to people who own it. There are some sketchy people who work in the industry, no doubt, which is the real thing that should be cracked down rather than the industry itself, but the decry and censor stuff created by consenting adults is complete and utter bullshit, and The Naked Director showcases both the humorous art form of making it and tearing down the misconceptions of porn in great ways. Now, I should note at this point that I did some research on the real Toro Muranishi, who still has a little involvement in the industry. He's not that great of a guy that The Naked Director makes him out to be. He posts a lot of derogatory comments about women in his Twitter, despite the show version making him seem like a champion for women's sexual independence. He's also gotten into trouble for using actresses who are 17 at the time of filming, which is never mentioned at all in the show, and I don't have to go into why that's a big fucking no-no, right? So, Muranishi is a scumbag too. Nevertheless, despite some of the real-life things the show doesn't present its audience, The Naked Director is a great series that showcases how porn can cause a revolution in a conservative nation like 1980s Japan. It's been renewed for a second season on Netflix, which I do hope showcases some of the actual bad shit Muranishi did so viewers don't look at him as like a hero sorts. Then again, the show is only semi-autobiographical, so it may stay on a somewhat positive portrayal of him. If you enjoy shows that have no real good guys and only just different levels of sleaze, then I highly recommend watching The Naked Director. Just do not watch it when kids are around, because it goes NC-17 in many, many places. By the way, there are a couple of scenes in The Naked Director that sort of made me raise an eyebrow. There are these dance club scenes where everyone is dancing the exact same dance, following along with someone on stage, and I tried to find research about that, but couldn't. However, I did find that until 2015, it was illegal for anyone to dance in a public area, specifically after midnight. They claimed it was to curb prostitution, which doesn't make fucking sense at all, much like the fact that Japan still mosaics its porn. So, Japan, please look over the laws that you have, realize which ones are stupid, and just get rid of them. You made a good stint with lifting the dance ban, but now, you know, get rid of that dumb AV law. And I'm gonna stop there because I don't want to go on a tirade about that, because I already did one soapbox today. No need for two. So, let's go back and head into some more music. J-pop singer Lisa just keeps churning out single after single, with no sign yet of stopping. Here's her latest release that she's calling Makoto Shiaka.
Culture-saturated world, what's a nerd to do?
Hang out with your good pals on Nerdy Show, that's what.
Our flagship podcast is a weekly celebration of the multifaceted D20 that is the modern nerd.
When we're not devising horrors that combine VR and spiders or taste-testing weird food, we're discussing the latest geek happenings,
digging into our deepest nerd niches,
or interviewing a celebrity or two.
Head to nerdyshow.com or find us on iTunes and experience a multiverse of awesomeness.
power that is Avatar with Scream Until You Wake from their newest album, Hunter Gatherer, one of AFLM's favorite bands, and odds are there's a good chance that this one will be on both of our lists of top world albums of 2020, a stupendous metal album, so go and grab it. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos from the Boston Bastion Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastionbrigade.com, like us on facebook.com/bostonbastionbrigade, and follow us on b3crew.tumblr.com. And you can follow me, Your King Baby Duck, on Twitter, the J-pop, video games, anime, amino pages, Instagram, and Twitch at King Baby Duck ESH. Don't forget to give some love to our friends at Black Compat, which you can find at blackcompat.com, twitch.tv/blackcompat, and youtube.com/blackcompat. Promotional consideration provided for this week's track from The Persian Leaps, made possible by Shameless Promotion PR. A very special thank you to Anton Barbeau for their contribution to Shameless Tuesdays as well. Big shout out to Mike Rogers for sending down Doovy Dovers for us to play, and to Subcult for getting their debut single into our hands. Please keep an eye on that group. I think they're going to do some fantastic things. We're going to end the show with Flower Flower, who are still keeping busy recording despite just releasing their latest album, Target. This is a wonderful little B-side from their new single, Hana Uta, and it goes by the name Cindy. And until next time, this is your King Baby Duck, reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps. This is your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo, from the Electric Sisterhood, and your host for the No Borders, No Race podcast. Each episode, we play the best, brightest, and hottest acts from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. Every song spun is but a mere taste of what you can expect of the artists heard, so if you truly loved what hit your eardrums, please be sure to support these musicians and buy their albums, EPs, and singles. places like Amazon.com, CD Japan, Yes Asia, Bandcamp, iTunes, and even your local record store are great places to plop down some sweet moolah to let those artists know that they're doing a heck of a good job with their melodies. The more an artist gets support from listeners, the better the chance that they'll come to a venue nearest you to play the sounds that won your heart. This message is brought to you by the Boston Bastard Brigade, reminding you all to support your local, national, and international artists any way you can.